Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Night Court. I am Rob Fisher alongside Brevin Knight. We're actually indoors because it's cold.
Freezing. It's cold. It's not just cold. It's freezing.
Snow, the whole deal. Thank you for joining us here on another edition of the program. Of course, you can catch us wherever you get your podcasts, and you can get us on Twitter at The Fish Nation, at Brevin Knight 22, and at Night Court 22. We've had the roller coaster that we talked about last week continued right after we got off the air, after we were talking about that great win against Phoenix. And we'll talk more about the roller coaster. We'll talk more about the NFL playoffs because Brevin is an expert.
Expert. I thought I was just good in basketball.
No.
I got a little football knowledge for you, too.
Expert. So we'll hear from the expert. But a couple of things first. One, driving in the snow. I'm just going to say what everybody is thinking. Stop being an asshole when you're driving. Seriously.
Yes.
You people with trucks.
Hey, hold on now. Some of us with trucks.
Some still of us are
drive,
nervous.
But some of us with trucks still drive responsibly.
I understand you people.
I drive responsibly. I still drive responsibly.
And I appreciate that. But so today, on the way over here, first there's power out in East Memphis. Go figure.
Oh, that's coming.
That's just happened. So power's out in East Memphis. And I pull up to the stoplight and treat it as a four-way stop, like right. You're supposed to.
Right.
And when it's snowing, especially, dude in the truck just comes flying up next to me and vroom, right through the light. And I'm like, what are you doing? And then on the way, I got closer, and there was a guy driving in the middle because he was scared, and he's going really slow. And I'm just behind him going slow. Dude comes up and sneaks by us on the side and just flies by. And I'm like, come on now, man. Just be respectful when you're driving. Don't be a jerk.
Well, I'm with you. And the other thing, though, is even when the lights are not out and the light is red, you still got to wait for the red light, even though there's not a lot of cars coming. Because that's the other thing that started happening yesterday. Nobody waited for the red lights anymore. It was literally like, well, it's red lights, no other cars coming.
I'm going to go.
I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, now we did it at one light when we were leaving from the arena to turn on to, what is that, to Crump to go get on the 240.
Uh-huh.
With the light, I think it was just stuck. We were sitting there forever. Yeah. So, but it was like one person who still was going to sit there. So a lot of us just went around. And then we looked back, that person was still sitting in the class. But I'm talking about on regular streets where the light is turning normally, people still just get there and they just keep on inching, and then eventually just go.
Just go.
So I know that there's snow on the ground and there's some ice underneath it, but you can't just make up your own rules.
No. That's just wrong. All right, the other thing I wanted to mention, earlier this week at the Grizzlies game, during halftime, they did a Simon Says.
Oh.
And Brevin, you were a part of Simon Says. And you got booted like twice.
Hold on. Listen. Number one, let's say I got down to the final five people.
Okay.
After there's probably about 40 people that were in line, I got down to the final five, and I was trying to be conscious and nice that we were so spread out that I was still in the position I was supposed to be in. I just was moving closer, as in to move closer. So he's like, "You moved, you're out." I'm like, "Oh, I got out." And then Steve wanted to be an ass.
Yeah, he did.
He tried to be one. He wanted to show me up. That's all right, Steve. It's okay.
He showed you up.
He did say, because you look, because you're dressed so nicely, you look so handsome, you're back in. I'm like, oh, cool, I'm back in. It's like, oh, but Simon didn't say it.
You're out again.
And
then called
and
you
the worst Simon Says player ever. How can someone that gets down to the final five be the worst Simon Says player that there is?
Oh, man.
That's all right. Fun. Wait till he comes back to Memphis next time. I'm going to have some people waiting for him.
Yep, that was fun. That was a good time. So when we left the show, we were talking about the roller coaster, and the last thing that happened was very positive. It was a win against Dallas. And then hours after we recorded the show, Marcus Smart out for 6 weeks. And then we had another big game, and then Desmond Bane got hurt. And now he's out for 6 weeks. But now we got another big win.
So everything's, we're on the right track again. Boy, it's been, I really believe after we left from New Orleans, there's someone with a voodoo doll that was like, know what? I'm tired of this Grizzlies team doing well against us. And they just started poking. And because not only that, you didn't even mention Jake LaRavia.
Oh, yeah.
We come back and we play. Jake LaRavia goes down.
We got nine dudes playing, and he goes down. So they were down to eight. Unbelievable. I've never heard I could sense it got to you, because I've never heard you more deflated when Dez went down.
Oh, and the thing was,
and I could just hear it in your voice of, are you serious? Is this real? I mean, because it's gotten absurd.
I've never been a part of it. In all of my years of being around, we've been on the 28 player Memphis team. Yeah. We've been around for that season. But it wasn't due to injuries. It wasn't as if we had, and not just a little injury or just season ending, prolonged. I mean, you think about it, this is going to be Marcus Smart's second prolonged injury this year.
Yeah.
Now Desmond Bane, who was our warrior for the entire year, prolonged injury for 6 years. John Morant, we waited months to get him back. We get him back, and it's like, okay, here we go. Things can be right. Out for the season. We start the year. Steven Adams comes back, plays two preseason games. We're like, man, he looks good. It's nice to have him back out there. Oh, he's done for the season. We're still Brandon Clark, we already knew what was happening with him. I mean, and just to see the way that Dez got hurt, to see him slam the floor, to see him not shoot the free throws, it legitimately took me a minute or two to just get back into, oh, still got to call the game. The game is still going on. Yeah. But it definitely was. It was a gut punch to see him go down in that fashion.
In this roller coaster ride, the thought of fighting for a play-in or just being completely done has gone back and forth due to injuries, due to games, performances, whatever. Beat Golden State yesterday, and it's a great win anytime you beat Golden State. I thought it was awesome. And a lot of stories from that game that we'll get into, but what are we looking at? What are we looking for? What do we look to? Is it just the next game?
I think it has to be, because we got to get off of this. We got to get off of this roller coaster that we've been on.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it last time. It was as soon as we felt like things were going good, you beat Phoenix, you beat Dallas, you come off of the road with the 3-game win streak. Even before the Dallas game, when you win the Lakers, you beat Phoenix. With John Morant, you think he's just out for just a little bit of time. Then all of a sudden we get the punch that, oh, no, it's not just a little bit of time. It's the rest of the year. It's like, geez, you got to be kidding me. We just got the kid back. Yeah. He's just coming back. We just were excited to have him back on the floor. But they win the game. You're like, okay, well, maybe they found a style to play at. And you still have the guys that are there. And we were able to get back Marcus Smart, get Luke Kennard back. So it's like, okay, you still got a chance. And then Marcus goes down. And then when Dez goes down, then it's just like, well, do we have to recalibrate what we think the season should be? Is it, do we just say get to watch the young guys grow and get minutes? And then they go out and they play against the Knicks the way they played against the Knicks, which was they competed very well. And it was like, hey, listen, if teams are going to come in and not take them seriously, then they have a chance. Then you turn around for the next game. Then they beat the Warriors. Now it's like, well, let's look at the stats again. And you look and see, they're only 4.5 behind just because the Warriors were the team that was next in touch. And they win that game. It's like, you just got to – I just go game to game and see what happens.
Yeah. Now, granted, through seasons like this, you find things. And I think that's one of the goals in a season like this is to just – find things. And one guy that we've talked about a lot the last couple of weeks has been Vince Williams Jr. Certainly an amazing find that Vince has been. But the story of the last two games certainly has been one Gigi Jackson, who has scored over 20 points in these two games. He's 19 years old. This has been fun. You know, the year when we had the 28 player, the year at the end of the year when DeLon Wright was getting triple-doubles.
Yes.
And Jonas was playing and getting double-doubles and it was kind of fun, but you thought DeLon Wright's not really a part of this future. I mean, he's done as soon as the season's over.
Right.
These are guys who you have under contract that really before this season you didn't know what they were going to be able to give.
Exactly.
And we've seen it from Vince, who I think has proven that he is certainly a rotational guy.
Bona fide rotational
guy. Yes. And I think at least through two games, it's been fun to watch this promise of Gigi.
Well, and I think what's been fun about it is he fits a need for this team in terms of we already saw size, athleticism, especially at that wing position. It's something that the Grizzlies were needing. And so to also combine that with the ability to shoot the ball from the perimeter, we've seen him be able to play defense, whether it be individually and still understanding weak side, where to be. But everybody has to learn that and as the NBA goes along. But the willingness to do it has been there. And I always say, I said it on our pregame show yesterday, was I wanted to see, could he do the little things that would get him on the floor? Because we don't know how many games when he plays with the regulars, is he going to be able to get 14, 15, 16 shots in the game?
Right.
Even though he was efficient with 9 shots in the Golden State Warriors game. But he's been able to do that. Defended, I thought his play against Kuminga was great. Blocked him 2 times, got called for a foul. Kuminga finally gave him a pump fake. He went for it. After that possession, he never went for a pump fake again. He stayed down every drive. It was 3 drives. Kuminga tried to go to it again. Pump fake. He stayed down, was able to contest. And so to me, to watch that, to watch him get the blocks off the ball, being able to come over and help, watch him not force shots, keep the ball moving, offensively rebound. That showed me that, number one, that he can learn on the fly while in the game situation. But he also can use his skill and not have to force his skill. And so I think it's very promising. It's only 2 games, but it's a very promising start.
I think Grizzlies fans, after 2 games, have bought in.
Oh, I can understand why you would buy in, because it's something that we've been looking for. It's something that is, as I just said, a need for this team, and he's been intriguing since he's been here. I mean, it's, and so I can see why you would be, and why people would buy into it. You know me, I've been around this game for a long time, and so I say, is the promise there? For sure. Have I enjoyed what he's done? For sure. But you like to see now, how does that
extend? Is that a finished product?
Exactly. And I think that he'll continue to learn and get better. But we have some nice tests coming up. He was able to do it at home. Comfortable here at home, people around him. Now you go on, we'll go on this road trip. And this road trip, at the end of this road trip, I think we'll have an even better understanding of the player that he is at this NBA level. But I'll say the start that he's had, fantastic start. And he did it against a former world championship team.
Yeah, something I didn't think I'd hear. Towards the end of the game against Golden State, I asked to get Gigi Jackson on the post-game walk-off interview, and they said no, because he's on TNT. I was like, Gigi Jackson's on TNT tonight? Unbelievable.
Hey, listen, he was our player of the game also.
Yeah, he was a player of the game. And it was really cool, his interview on TNT, when Shaq started talking to him. You could just see Gigi got this excited look on his face, like, oh my God, Shaquille O'Neal is talking to me.
100%.
That was awesome to see.
He's 19 years old. What I liked about it? That he's still 19 years old.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't trying to act like I'm older. Wasn't trying to act like I've been here before, I've done this. He was 19.
Wore Spider-Man pants to the podium
and explained why he liked Spider-Man and what that was all about. Uh-huh. Giggled about it. Like, you can see a 19-year-old kid who just enjoying basketball, and so much he has talked about, wants to be a sponge and just wants to continue to learn while playing and having this opportunity. And so that's why I say, is it something that can continue? I believe this is something that we can see going forward. We can continue to see him have success. Will it be 20 points every night? Will he make all his shots? It may not be to that level, but he will have a level of success in this game if he continues with that mentality.
When you played, who was the first wow moment for you?
I always tell you, my first wild moment was going into the locker room in the Cleveland Cavaliers and seeing my name up next to Sean Kemp's name.
Yeah.
and that to me was, it felt like, oh, I'm really here. Like, walking across the stage, shaking David Stern's hand, that was all cool. And it was like, oh, man, we made it. But to walk in that locker room and see Kemp's name up there and then see Knight right next to it and then sit down, and Kemp comes in at some point in time, or we're working out, and we get a chance to meet each other. That was my wow moment. Will forever be. That was the second one was when we played Michael Jordan.
Mm.
and watching that Bulls team come run out of the locker room. I tell you, it was literally like watching them on NBA films where they come out and it's like the slow-mo and you see their arms, their shoulders going up and down as they're running. Literally like you. And this as we were watching them run on the floor, it felt like they were running on the floor in slow motion. That was back in the day where we had the snap pants. They wouldn't snap the bottom, so it was really flowing at the bottom. Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Sitting here right now.
And then take the floor and play them?
And then win.
Win. Nice.
That was just like the icing on the cake. I thought we'd arrive until we played them the next time.
all right, so the Grizzlies, they going forward here, I mean, they won a game against the Warriors by scoring 20 points in the paint, hitting 23s, doing really well, scoring off turnovers. I mean, converting on turnovers was huge for the Grizzlies in that game. But you're not going to get 23s every game. You certainly don't want to get 20 points in the paint every game. What's the formula for this team to win the way they're constructed right now?
Well, I think it was the pace I'm going to go back to it. It's still the pace. Like, even and continuing to execute their game plan. So the games that say the Dallas game and this game, great examples of two teams who live on threes. Mm-hmm. And not just the made threes, but their energy, their vibe is all about them being able to make threes. So what did the Grizzlies say? Well, we're not going to give you threes. We may give up some twos. We may get some layups. You may get some mid-range jump shots, some things that are the easier shots. But we're not going to give you those energy builders, which are the threes.
Yeah.
And they did it. They only 9 threes they allowed against Dallas, 10 threes they allow against the Golden State Warriors. And you didn't allow Steph Curry to have the dribble step back threes. Those are igniters for their team, and they're deflators for your team.
Yeah.
So the layups that he made, we said that he's underrated finisher in the paint.
So every game, I mean, what you're saying, it seems every game is going to be different.
Every game will be different. But the one thing that's the same is the energy level that they play with and the pace that they play with. Now, the scheme of what you're trying to get done, that'll change because everyone's strengths are different. They may play against a team that's not good at shooting threes. They want to get into the paint. So now you're going to cut things shorter, not close out as hard. Pack it in, make sure you help defense. So that may be a different mentality. But the way in which you execute it has to be on point, and everyone has to know it. And that was the difference in those two, the Dallas game and this game. Everybody was on the same page with what happened. The force turn, every game they got to be active enough to force turnovers, and then you got to convert them. The New York game, they forced 23 turnovers. They scored 23 points. But it's the possessions they were able to get. 19 turnovers for the Warriors. They scored 30 points off of those. Mm-hmm. The other thing they did was they shot 40 free throws. What that means is even though they made the 23s, there still was a level of attacking of the paint.
Yeah.
And you can get that by the pace of the game being up because now you're not playing against the shot clock. We had multiple possessions where the ball went from one corner around to the other corner, back the other way, and then the guy made a drive. So that's all because you get up the floor, you give yourself those options. I think that has been a big difference in why they've been able to score as effectively as they have been here in the past couple of weeks.
If you look at pace and energy as an identity for the team, that's something to sustain night in and night out. It's tough to sustain night in and night out.
It's tough, but the good thing is they've gotten bench contributions.
Yeah.
And that has been huge for them to be able to get guys to come in the game to still play that same way. Now, are you saying, well, this guy's better? Listen, not better than, but can you play better as a unit together and get individual performances? Because you can go down the list. David Roddy has done a good job coming off the bench or being in a starting role, whichever one it's been. Nice to get Santi back as another guy off of the bench that can come in or as a starter that can play big minutes for you. And so it's been nice to be able to have a full unit of guys playing the same way in terms of what their intentions are, but using their skill and what they're good at.
I look at Golden State, and I asked you last week, are they old? After watching them, the thing that's really noticeable to me is, remember when they were winning championships, how good their depth was.
Uh-huh.
The players, the veterans that they had coming off, they don't have those guys anymore.
They don't. They missed the Sean Livingstons of the world.
Yeah.
They missed the Andre Iguodalas of the world. They miss Draymond Green of the world. The Draymond Green, the basketball player, not all the other stuff. They missed that because they needed the guys that did the intangibles so their tangible guys could be good. The other thing is they lack a level of athleticism. I say in today's game, you got to have some level of athleticism to go along with being able to play the game the right way, think it the right way, and a little bit they lack. And a big part of that is they haven't had a consistent Andrew Wiggins. Like Kuminga gives him that when he comes in the game, he gives that extra boost. And that's what Gigi Jackson gives. That's what the guys off the bench were giving. They just give that little extra injection of life. And that's what the Grizzlies have become accustomed to seeing from guys off of the bench. And so that's what he brought. But the Warriors, that part of them, the care factor, is what I didn't see from them last night. Didn't see that enough from them at all. And you're just looking at their record.
That killer attitude that would scare you about them. Because no lead was safe. And you just kept waiting.
It was almost like
you had to get it from Steph or you were getting it from nobody.
That was it. Yeah. It's been that way all year.
Yeah.
Like if you watch the Warriors, the reason why they're in the position they're in is because it's literally been Steph Curry and who else is going to come along.
Yeah.
And can he make enough threes to get everybody else on the team hyped just like the people in the crowd get?
Yeah.
And if he doesn't make enough threes or enough of those type plays, then they can't get hyped. Nobody else is getting them to get hyped. And so, and what you have is, you have a team that is very stagnant, is what they are. Yeah. They're a stagnant basketball team right now.
Now, the good news is we get to get out of this cold, wintry mix weather and head out on the road.
To real cold.
To Minneapolis, Chicago, Toronto. Oh, and Miami. All right, Minneapolis, tough. Tough regardless of who's playing or who's not playing for the Grizzlies.
They've always... We said in the playoff series two years ago. We said this is going to be the team that can give this Grizzlies team problems. If the Grizzlies had their full complement of guys, and we thought that there was a window open for Western Conference Championship, give yourself a shot at a championship. We kept saying that the one young team you had your Warriors, you had your Nuggets, you had those veterans, but the one young team that would be a problem, it was always this Minnesota team.
Yeah.
And when they became a real problem was when they went and got Mike Conley.
I agree with you. I think he's made a huge difference with that team because that was the one thing that they were really lacking.
They needed better. We were saying that the kid from USC, forgetting his name, would come off the bench for him. It's a shame because I had him in the Pac-12 All-Star team. Jordan. Why am I forgetting his name? But yeah, their backup point guard, he came in against when we played against them. And when he came in the game, I was like, he settled things down. He got a foot in the paint. He allowed their other star players to just fit into that role. And then they went and got Anthony Edwards. So it was the length that they were able to have.
Jordan Clark?
No, from USC.
McLaughlin?
Jordan McLaughlin.
Yeah.
That's his name.
Did not play coach's decision.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly what I'm saying. But but at that time, when he would come in the game, it was like this. Now they look like a basketball. Yeah. They look like a full-fledged team now. And so to go and get Mike Conley was just an upgrade. No knock to him, but Mike Conley's been doing it for a long time. And you have now a guy who can get guys into their positions, who knows what it takes to win, who the other guys respect. And then Anthony Edwards has continued to elevate his game. And people talk about the highlight plays and what he does, but he is in the stratosphere of a Paul George, of a Kawhi Leonard in terms of two-way players. Mm-hmm. Because he is more than willing to take on a defensive assignment of a good player on the other side. And so that, and then I thought another big thing was Karl Anthony Towns accepting the fact that Anthony Edwards was now the star of the team. And because he and Gobert can coexist, he doesn't have to have the ball. He's not over dribbling. It made them a formidable opponent moving forward. And then they have all the other pieces. They get Kyle Anderson, Naz Reid. So they're a real team. And at this point in the season, to still be the number one team in the Western Conference, is that's a credit to them.
Yeah. And then the Grizzlies have Chicago. Haven't seen Chicago yet this year.
Haven't seen Chicago. And if Zach LaVine is playing, or I think he's back in the line. I think he was hurt. He's one. This Chicago's one of those teams you don't hear much about. You don't talk much about it. They're I almost say like nondescript. You know DeMar DeRozan, what he does. If you don't go play well, they can beat you. But if you play well enough, you win. It's just they're one of those teams that kind of just blah in the league at this point.
That's when you got to play. You got to do what we were talking about, the identity. Play hard, have a lot of energy. And Grizzlies have a chance against Chicago for sure.
Right, and be the team that they've been. But I'm talking like that. And Chicago's ninth in the Eastern Conference.
What's the record?
19-23.
Yeah. Well, they win some games.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at them over there, nothing spectacular. I think they just they go out and they win games.
They just are.
that's what they are. They just are.
And then Toronto, we've seen them, and that was a disaster. That was the worst loss of the season, was against Toronto.
Because it was one of the it was a bad effort.
Yes.
Like, you just didn't give the requisite energy to play. And another, they made their move. They made the trade. They get RJ Barrett, and then quickly just absolutely had his way with us.
Yeah.
And that's another team that when you get up there to play, you gotta. Their fans are great. Yeah. They really get behind them. It's a real atmosphere for them when you play there. And then you know Darko is gonna have them ready again because it'll be a personal test for him.
Yeah. And then you have Miami.
And unfortunately, I mean, for this team, but fortunate for the Heat, Jimmy Butler's back. But the thing that with Miami is, like, they have an identity. And even when they don't have their main guys, they're still a dangerous basketball team because Eric Spoelstra is absolutely amazing. He has a great staff. They do a fantastic job of preparing their team. Miami is very similar to when I told you when we went to L.A. And it's not for the stars or much, but it's just for the fact that the sun is out. Yeah. I told you when we went to Phoenix. I said, when you go to play in Phoenix, L.A., those places where the sun is out, you feel good, the vibe is there, you go into the arena, it's just, you're ready to play. And hopefully this team will, even though it'll be the last game of a road trip, but it's not a road trip that kills you in games. Like, there's no back-to-back. You get a day off at every time. You don't have to rush. There's no rush into any city. The guys will still be in a positive mindset, rested enough to go out and give maximum effort in that game.
All right. Last week we picked football games for the playoffs.
Did we?
Yeah.
Did we really do that?
We did. We picked every game, and Brevin went 6-0. Wow, 6-0. Pick the Packers.
And
that's just because he hates the Cowboys, but he did pick the Packers.
But I also said that the Packers were playing well at that juncture.
That's
like
true.
The thing is, it wasn't just haphazard. I gave you a little breakdown of why making the choices I was making.
I, a professional handicapper that I am, I went 5-1 straight up, 4-2 against the spread last week.
5-1's not bad.
With my 6 picks, so 5-1, not bad. So we got 4 games this weekend. And expected a couple of blowouts on Saturday as Houston visits Baltimore, and Baltimore is a 9-point favorite against Houston on Saturday.
They're playing in Baltimore.
At Baltimore, yeah.
Well, I am. I know Houston has done, CJ Stroud has done great. I really enjoy the energy of their head coach. What's it, Ryan DeMarco?
DeMeco Ryan?
Yeah. I like his energy. But their run is going to come to an end.
Yeah.
I think the Ravens are, number one, they're not going to make the same mistake of not being ready to play after having to bye last time. They'll be ready to play. And the weather will be on their side. You're not playing inside the dome, running up and down some turf. You have to deal with a little weather, some other things. And
it'll be cold.
And so, yeah, I'm expecting Baltimore to win that game. And I don't do the – They're just going to win. I'm not doing the plus, minus nine, that stuff.
Well, I'll do it. I got Baltimore. You got that. I think Baltimore will win, but I think Houston will cover the 9 points. I think it'll be a close game. I think Houston's just playing really well.
They are.
And you know, it's one of those examples of they don't know any better, I think, at this yes. point. Just going out and playing football. And so I think they'll keep it close with Baltimore, but I will take Baltimore to win. Also Saturday, Green Bay, after their big win over the dominating performance. I was at a Packers bar for that game. They give away free beer after every Packers touchdown.
Boy, you were toasted. The way that they just whooped up on those Cowboys.
Man, it was amazing.
Man, it was so much fun to watch.
Free beer! It was like, yay!
Touchdown! Come on down to Cabo with us.
They're going. Packers are in San Francisco to take on the 49ers. 49ers are a 9.5-point favorite against the Pack.
This is going to be something that just blows people's minds. Like, how in the heck can he say that? I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Really?
I think that my only fear, here's my only fear, but why I'm a little bit hesitant, is that I know Green Bay's maybe Achilles heel is their defensive backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how good, as Cam Newton says, that Brock Purdy is a great manager.
Yeah.
And I think he does a good job of getting the ball to the right guys to allow them to make play.
Yeah.
But that day ain't going to Jordan Love, though.
Man,
they got some wide receivers. Their offensive line played well. And Jones went to run the ball. It's going to be my one upset.
Going Packers?
I'm going with the Packers.
I'm going 49ers and 49ers to cover the 9.5. I think they win big. Sunday, we got the Bucks at the Lions. Lions, 6.5-point favorite.
How about as soon as I was watching the Buccaneers win their game, I literally, number one, the Eagles, it was absolute travesty. That was just ridiculous. Made the NFC East look like some trash, them and the Cowboys.
Sure did.
I already started thinking about this one. I was like, God, like, am I really going to ride with Baker
Mayfield? No, you cannot ride with Baker Mayfield. You cannot. Because that's the first question that popped into my head, too, thinking about this game.
Like, literally, I was like, so because of that, I am going to go with Big Bang Hanks.
Yeah.
Detroit Lions.
I'm going with the Detroit Lions as well. I said the same thing about Baker last week, yet I still picked him. Yeah, exactly. Just because the Eagles were such trash going into the end of the year.
And he goes for 380?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The last touchdown, though, just lets you know how bad the Eagles are. Literally just threw the ball up in the air. And was like, all right, well, don't worry. You'll get it. Yeah. Their guy won't even know where the ball is.
And then the big game of the weekend, Kansas City at Buffalo.
Ooh,
Buffalo, 2.5-point favorite.
I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. And know why? You already know why. They just too much daggone Taylor Swift talk.
The Chiefs are my team, but I think I'm going with Buffalo. Buffalo, Patrick Mahomes has never played on the road in the playoffs.
I know.
Which is amazing, considering how many times they've gone to the Super Bowl and they haven't had to play a road playoff game.
And it's not even about the Bills.
Bills are so weird, man. So many times during this season where I was like, well, they're a fraud. They're not that good. And then they can look like they looked last week or this past weekend. And they can look great. And they still have Josh Allen. But Allen's going to make mistakes at some point during the game. I just don't know if the Chiefs are going to be able to keep up with Buffalo. I think Buffalo will be able to score.
The thing is, though, I saw Buffalo's won 6 games in a row.
Yeah. And squeaked by some of them, though. And
right, that's what I'm
saying.
It didn't
play well in some of them. And but they're a weird team, but they're talented enough that if they can, that they could win the Super Bowl.
And if they keep putting it together, and they get to, there's something about, football, I think, is a lot different with that home field at Van Home. Like, it's a real advantage with that Bills Mafia. Like, those people, I don't give a damn what the weather's going to be like. You can minus snow. They'll sit on snow, stand up the whole time. Whatever you want, they're going to be there.
That was amazing.
To see
the people sit on snow.
On straight. Like, they don't even like, we. They know what? We ain't shoveling. They're like, so what? We coming. We'll be there. As long as y'all don't have a ban on driving, yeah, as they had before, but that's why they had to move the game, because you just, it was, they're not, the state of New York just said you can't, nobody can move.
Right.
As long as they can move, they'll be there.
Yeah.
And I think it's a decided advantage for them. So we agree on all games except one.
Yeah,
I'm the only one that went on a limb.
Did I not pick a? No, I picked Houston's to cover.
No, you only picked them to cover. Yeah, though, not to win though.
Yeah, no.
You went safe. I had, that's my only.
So
feeling.
I picked every favorite.
You picked every favorite, man. That's a shame.
I don't like that. That ain't gonna happen.
I went on, and I love Christian McCaffrey, my Stanford guy. I went on the limb with. There's something. Sometimes there's a team that just has something going on that you say.
Well, hell, you know it as a Giants fan.
Yes, that's
why. If you catch it at the right time.
Listen, the only times that we've made it into the playoffs, aside from last year, we've gone in and won the championship.
Yeah, it was a wild card.
Yes,
so
we're on a 9-7 year.
Yeah, catch it at the right time, and maybe the Packers are catching it at the right time. It certainly looked like it last week against Dallas. That was awesome. All right, that's going
to
do it.
Hey, one more thing. Yes, I got to give a shout-out to my boy Gilliard for the game the other night.
Jacob Gilliard?
Jacob Gilliard was – I thought he was fantastic.
I enjoy watching him play.
What I liked about it was I felt like it was the first game in a long time where he really involved himself in all aspects of the game.
Which was good considering how few minutes he's gotten recently.
Yeah, but I felt like the other times he was just out there just to be out there. Like, I'm just out here to take the minutes that y'all give me.
Right.
I felt like in that game, he was out there to make a difference in the game. Not just be a game manager, but be a game influencer. And I think that he has a skill to be able to do that more often. So I was very, very happy
his hands,
to see,
man,
that. Yeah, but that's an asset.
Watching him get his hand on steals is impressive.
Such an asset. So, yeah, Jacob, great shout out to you.
Shout out Jacob Gilliard and GG and Vince and
Ronnie,
all the Grizz.
Everybody. I mean, listen, all you guys, it was. We appreciate the effort that they put forth when being counted out. I've been on those teams when people say, "Well, it's over. You don't have this. You don't have that." And those guys, man, they came out there and played with a lot of heart.
Absolutely. All right, that's gonna do it for us in this edition of Night Court. Thank you for tuning in. Again, you can get us on Twitter at BrevinKnight22. At the Fish Nation and at Night Court 22. And make sure you tune in to the program each and every week wherever you get your podcasts. For BK, I'm Fish. Thanks for joining us here on Night Court. We'll talk to you again next week.
Peace.